I love Bam in your face, John. That should be a drop right there. Lindsay Fulton, our producer at her house in Cleveland, in studio right now. Jorge is with us, and I'm at my house. Ireland's at his house as we continue to roll on with the show. So much is going on. There's no way to actually get to everything during our time, but we're going to try. The Dodgers are hosting the Astros this weekend. Weirdly, it is an off day, a Friday off day for the Dodgers. Then they've got the Astros tomorrow and Sunday. Sunday, it's the national ESPN game, so we're going to connect with Mark Teixeira here in just a minute. Oh, and he's here. Hey, Mark, how are you, man?
I'm here, guys. How you doing?
Great, Tex, and we're glad to have you with us. First of all, let's start with this. Since you won a world championship with the Yankees, we're Dodger fans. We all expected Yankees-Dodgers in the World Series. It may still happen, but boy, are the Yankees struggling. What's wrong with them so far?
Wow. Living up here in the New York area and you know, following this team closely, it's really easy, actually, if you think about it, guys. There's probably 9 or 10 players on that Yankees team that are all-star caliber players, and half of them are hurt and the other half aren't playing well. and it's just that's just the fact of the matter. Now, they do expect to have Judge and Stanton back, which will really help. Gerrit Cole, while his numbers aren't dominant, his stuff's still there. Gerrit Cole is going to be fine. I think he's a little bit of a victim of the COVID stop and start. Masahiro Tanaka always pitches well in the playoffs. Davey Garcia is a guy who's stepping up. So as bad as it looks for the Yankees right now, and trust me, it's been looking bad, there are some bright spots there. They're just not the dominant team that we thought they were going to be. The Dodgers, on the other hand, are doing everything that we expected and everything they're supposed to be doing. And so it really is a tale of two cities here from the East and West.
So before we get to the Dodgers, who do you like in the American League? I mean, the Astros are down. Tampa's really good. The A's, the Indians, the White Sox. Who do you like in the American League?
Well, the team I wouldn't want to face in the playoffs is the Indians is because they're pitching staff. And,
yep.
And when you can pitch and just throw arm after arm after arm, especially in kind of these short series, It's going to be tough to beat a team like that. Now, the exciting teams are the White Sox. I think that team is just so much fun to watch. Their firepower offensively is incredible. But you guys know, great offenses in the playoffs, you're not going to score as many runs in the playoffs as you do in the regular season. You're only facing the best pitchers. I think if you really want to look at the best team top to bottom, it's probably the Oakland A's. And that's just because they do everything well. They don't really have a lot of holes. They have a great back end of the bullpen. They do everything right. They catch the ball. You know, I just like that team. But it is a complete toss-up. You could see a Yankees team coming into the playoffs as the 8th seed and make it to the World Series. That's how wide open the American League is.
Mark Teixeira is our guest. In the National League, the Dodgers look great, Tex. They seem to be living up to every hope we had for them preseason. Mookie Betts has been almost better than advertised. As you look at the Dodgers, do you see any weaknesses, any reason why they might not be successful in the playoffs?
I don't, and that's, you know, I'm sorry to not, you know, drop any bombshells on you guys, but
no, that's, I mean, a good thing.
It's just, I mean, you look at this team. I mean, Bellinger and Muncy aren't even really hot yet. I mean, if those guys get hot and Seager and Betts are doing, I think we talked earlier in the season or before the season started about Corey Seager is one of my favorite players in baseball. And now that he's healthy, we're seeing why he's such a special player. I think he's going to win an MVP someday. It might be this year if he gets hot and Tatis, you know, gets cold. But you have a great lineup. I love Dustin May. I mean, Dustin May, to me, when you can throw a guy who's 6'6", throws 100-mile-an-hour sinkers, I don't care who you're playing, I don't care where you're playing, home field, bubble, whatever, that just plays. And if I can throw Kershaw, Bueller, you know, assuming that his blister issues are going to be okay, and Dustin May, if I can throw those three guys in the first three rounds or the first three games of every playoff series, how do they lose? I just don't see how this team loses.
Yeah, although, you know, Mark, I've said this a lot. It's if you draw the wrong opponent for that three-game series, anything can happen. I almost think the Dodgers will win the World Series if they get out of that three-game series. Does that make sense?
You're exactly right. The good and bad of this postseason is that a lot of teams are getting in. It's exciting. I personally love this expanded playoffs. I hope they do it next year. I just want you know, next year and in the future, the first round to be five. So let's get five games in the first round and then go seven, you know, there on out. Major League Baseball knows that you make more money in the postseason anyway. Why not add as many games as possible? But the weird part about this year is that you can have the best team in the history of baseball, and all it takes is a bad bounce, a wind-aided home run, you know, just a pitcher who wakes up and doesn't have the feel of his off-speed pitches, and all of a sudden you lose two out of three games, and you go, what just happened? You know, I use this example all the time. I mean, look at the Cincinnati Reds. They're not that great of a team, but as a Dodger fan, would you really want to play the Reds in that first round, two out of three?
Nope.
Knowing the arms that can be thrown at you, that's not a team I want to face.
Right. That's a really good point. And it happens all the time in the playoffs. You know, people forget that Mariners team that won 114 games, never made it even to the series. So it happens all the time. Mark Teixeira is our guest. All right, Tex, Mason and I both like this new crazy stick a guy on second base in extra innings.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it just works for us. Mason's a baseball traditionalist. When he first heard the idea, he hated it. So did Oral Hershiser. Now that they've seen it in action, Oral wants to keep it. Mason wants to keep it. Lindsay, our producer, hates it. Clayton Kershaw hates it. Where do you come down on this new fancy stick a guy on second at the start of the 10th inning?
I hated it early. But now I've come around, guys. I really have. And call me crazy, I don't mind seven-inning games either. I really don't. The Boston Red Sox are an awful team this year, and they're averaging 3.5 hours per game.
Huh.
And so if we want to grow this game, if we want to continue to get young people interested in watching, we have to shorten these games somehow. So if it's a man on second and extra innings, if it's seven-inning doubleheaders, or I mean, hey, half of your games are seven innings, whatever it is. We got to get these games down because it's just too long. Everything that baseball has tried from a pace of play standpoint hasn't worked so far.
Yeah, I am in agreement with you about this. I am a traditionalist to my bones. You know, I worked in minor league baseball for a number of years and got a feel for the game. But what I want for the game more than anything, I don't like any of it. But what I want for the game more than anything is for it to grow. And if that means trying seven-inning doubleheaders, expanded playoffs, extra inning scheme, I'm all for it if it's attracting eyeballs and getting younger people into the game. So I'm willing to sacrifice my traditionalist nature for the best interest of the game. What do you think?
I'm right there with you. And that's the same. I'm as old school as they come, really. I mean, you know, when I played, I just – every new thing, I mean, I even see, you know, I see all the guys with the elbow guards and the face shields, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, all of the new things that are coming to the game and people talking about launch angle, when someone first told me about launch angle, I'm like, why are you guys making up stuff that we've been doing for 100 years? Players know that if you hit the ball in the air hard, it's better than hitting it on the ground hard. That's not rocket science. I don't need a Harvard PhD to know that you want the ball hard up in the air. So I'm with you. I just think that baseball, they're going to have a hard time, at least in the next year or two, getting the players to agree to anything. I mean, there's so much animosity on both sides. But if the players were smart, they would invest in, you know, the next 10, 20 years of the game and figure out what are the things that we can do that may seem radical now that maybe the union or our agents or somebody says, you guys are crazy, let's not do this. But what are the things that are actually going to help grow the game? And all of these little things are, I think, are small pieces that can help the future of baseball.
I agree with you. And, you know, if you're thinking that way, maybe some of the younger players will too. You're right. These two sides are so adversarial by nature, Mark. It's like, if it's their idea, I don't want to do it. Is there anybody that can bridge the gap in your opinion? Is there anybody like Rob Manfred? I don't think the players trust. Is there anybody, is there somebody that's like a LeBron James or a Chris Paul in the NBA who can bring the two sides together?
I actually want to see owners step up because players come and go. If you really think about it, and players, they have different motives, right? Certain players at the beginning of their career might want something. Players at the end of their career might want something else. And if the owners, if a handful of owners can step up and be radical or vocal about anything, I think that'd be good. I mean, every time a Major League Baseball player owner says anything, they just get like scolded by the media and by everyone. They tell them to be quiet. It doesn't make any sense. There's 30 of them out there. You know, they own 1/30 of Major League Baseball. They should really care about the future. So, I mean, I have a lot of friends that work in front offices. That, you know, I have friends that own pieces of teams, and I've had conversations over the last 6 months, you know, during this entire kind of fiasco and are we going to play and what's it going to take? And privately, a lot of these owners are on board with some of the stuff the players want. And so, you know, who can bridge that gap? I think there's a few owners that could probably step up. And as long as they don't get scolded by Major League Baseball or the media, that might be the way to go where some of these guys can help bridge that gap.
ESPN baseball analyst Mark Teixeira is with us, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. So the Sunday game of the week on ESPN, the Astros and the Dodgers renew their rivalry. Joe Kelly made for an interesting series last time around. What do you expect on Sunday night and frankly, this entire weekend of Dodgers-Astros?
I expect a whole lot of chirping. I really do. Now, I don't expect beanball wars because neither one of these teams want one of their best pitchers or a player being suspended for too long. Major League Baseball, I thought, came down way too hard on Joe Kelly when he got his suspension. That being said, you know they're getting warned, so there's going to be warnings to start the series. If anyone starts throwing up and in, you're going to get kicked out and you're going to get suspended. But you're going to have every time there's a bomb, every time one of the Astros strikes out, you're going to hear trash cans banging. I really wish I could get a front row seat to this series and listen to it. And maybe if we listen really carefully on the air, we can catch it on the telecast. But it'll be a lot of chirping, guaranteed.
Go ahead, Mace.
Look, it's going to be a fun weekend. It's weird. It's the craziest. Can you believe how much is going on simultaneously in sports right now?
It's fun. I watched a couple quarters of that football game last night, and to me, the NFL looked normal. It looked normal. It felt normal. I thought it was a pretty crisp game. You know what I watched? Watching two of the best quarterbacks on the planet. So. I enjoy it. I'm not a huge basketball guy, so I haven't been watching the NBA, but you know, the golf playoffs, I love golf. I'm watching that. The U.S. Open's next week. I mean, this is a really cool time to be a sports fan, especially since we're just starving for anything positive in our country. And I think college football coming back, I'm a big college football fan. I think that'll be great. Hopefully the Big Ten can also play. I think the party's probably over for the Pac-10, but everyone else is getting back to playing. It's a good time. I mean, get your beers and chips ready this weekend and spend some good time on the couch.
All right. Hey, listen, Mark, thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it as always, and hopefully we can do this again.
Always fun, guys. Thanks.
Awesome, man. Mark Teixeira there. All right, it's time, John. Only one key left. Remember, there are only four keys that could start the brand-new 2021 Mazda CX-30. And we're going to give away the fourth and final one coming up next. Hopefully you've been listening to the show all week. You'll need to know something from Tuesday, from Wednesday, from yesterday, and from today. Answer all four right, and you get that key that could start the brand-new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson, OC Mazda, OCMazda.com.
Now,
so
what 877,
I'm yeah, ahead. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. Line up to play for that final key.
Now, what I'm curious is, Karen Kay worked on our show for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Shosh, do you think you've heard some of these quizzes? Do you always know the answers, or are they too hard for even you?
Okay, the first one was really easy. I would have won that car, and I absolutely love that car. It's perfect for me, and it's perfect for Jake, my bulldog. That car is gorgeous. The second time around, that I got stumped. So you definitely made the questions tougher. So I literally just got chills knowing that this contest is coming up. So
yeah, you got chills.
I did.
Shosh, I don't think you're eligible.
They're multiplying.
You work with us.
Oh, I can't win?
I don't think so.
Sorry.
But that's okay. I still
People
want the car.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, John Mace has a connection with John Patterson. He can get you hooked up.
Yeah,
you
know I'll definitely put in a word for you.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. John Patterson, OC Mazda, great dude. Great dude.
It's a great car. That would be perfect for me and my bulldog. Nobody else, just us two.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The answer, by the way, is enough. That's how much I smoke. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. What is going on? It is time to give away the fourth and final key that could start the 2021 Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson to OC Mazda. We're going to give this car away on Monday at 3:15. You'll have a chance to win if you've got one of the keys, so this is your last chance to get in. Good luck.
All right, so if you answer a question, this week is only four questions because we didn't have a show on Monday. So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and first up is Ian in Chatsworth. Ian, welcome to 710 ESPN. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, Ian. First question from Tuesday's show. What time does Keyshawn Johnson get to work in New York?
First of all, let me say I've been listening to you guys for 10-plus years. You got the best sports
Excellent.
Show on the radio.
Thanks, man.
I say 5 o'clock.
I'm sorry, Ian. Ah. Thank you for the compliment. That was a good guess, but it is incorrect.
The compliment helps, by the way. I love compliments.
David in Riverside. David, are you there?
I'm here, guys.
David, what time does Keyshawn Johnson get to work in New York?
3 a.m.
I'm sorry, David, you're out.
These are legitimate tough questions this week.
All right, so we will give Jorge a chance to reload the phones, 877-710-ESPN. While he does that, let's bring on Robin in Irvine. Hi, Robin, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Robin.
Robin, what time does Keyshawn?
A little nervous here, but I'm hoping I get this.
Okay, all right. What time does Keyshawn get to work in New York?
4:30.
Correct.
Yes, good job, man.
Mace?
How old is Jorge's daughter?
Jorge's daughter? Man, I listened to hour one, hour two, hour three. I never heard
This is from Wednesday.
This is from Wednesday's show.
Yeah, from Wednesday's show. I never heard you guys talk about Jorge's daughter.
We Take a guess.
Did. Take a shot. How Take old is Jorge's daughter?
13.
Incorrect.
No,
I'm sorry. Good try.
For trying, man.
Yeah, that was...
These are legit tough.
Bella in Whittier is up next. Hi, Bella.
Hi.
Bella, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Bella, what time does Keyshawn Johnson get to work in New York?
4:30.
Very good.
How old is Jorge's daughter?
5.
I'm sorry, Bella, you're out. Okay.
Sorry.
That opens the door.
I like that these are harder, though. I like it.
Oh, they are tough. They're tough.
All right, lines
especially
open,
Especially since they only have to answer four.
Correct.
Lines open, 877-710-3776. Up next is Eddie in Woodland Hills. Eddie, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing?
Good, good.
Eddie, what time does Keyshawn Johnson get to work in New York?
4:30.
How old is Jorge's daughter?
All right. I'm not going to know this one, but I'm going to have to take a guess. And so I'm going to go with 3 years old.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, man.
All right. Nice try.
Definitely in the ballpark, but
nice,
not it.
Nice try. Damon in Las Vegas is up next.
Damon. Hey, what's up, guys? Damon.
Welcome, Damon.
All right, Damon, hopefully you knock this out. Damon, what time does Keyshawn get to work in New York?
4:30.
How old is Jorge's daughter?
She is 4 years old.
No. I'm sorry. Wow, this question's tougher than we thought.
This is a stump question.
Oh, my God.
All right, sorry, Damon.
Sorry, man.
Very
obviously
upset.
Very upset.
All right, that opens the door for Kevin in Anaheim. Kevin, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing, Kevin?
Good. How are you?
Good. Kevin, man. What time does Keyshawn get to work in New York?
4:30 a.m.
All right.
Okay, here we go. How old is Jorge's daughter?
2?
Yes!
All right, Kevin, you're halfway there. Here we go. From yesterday's show. What move did Mason make on his fantasy team before a single game was even played?
Do I have to name the player?
No, you do not need to name the player. Just have to tell us what.
He swapped kickers.
Is that enough, Mace?
I think he should have to be more specific, like we wrote the answer.
Okay, he said, Kevin,
a team.
He dropped a kicker from one team for a kicker in the other team. I'll tell you, we'll give it to you if you give us either team.
He had,
take a guess.
The Zuerlein, Greg Zuerlein?
No. I'm sorry.
All right.
Damn.
All
right. Damn is right.
That was your kicker, John.
Yes, that was my
kicker. Yeah, you've got Greg the leg.
It opens the door for Michelle in Santa Ana.
Michelle,
you're on 710 ESPN.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Michelle. You ready to try this thing?
Yeah, I'm nervous.
All right,
that's all right. You're doing fine so far.
You can always guess if you don't know the answer. What time does Keyshawn get to work in New York?
4:30.
Yes.
Very good.
How old is Jorge's daughter?
8 years old.
Yeah, no.
No.
You're giving out the right answer. I'm sorry, Michelle.
Oh.
Every right to be nervous.
All right, let's go to Yuli. Yuli, you're next up on 710 ESPN. You ready, Yuli?
Ayumi.
Okay, Ayumi. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay. Ayumi, what time does Keyshawn Johnson get to work in New York?
4:30.
How old is Jorge's daughter?
Matei is 2.
Ooh.
Oh, she knows the name. What move did Mason make on his fantasy team before a kicker or a single game was even played?
He cut someone... too soon to cut someone. Can I make a move?
Yeah. Who did he cut? We determined earlier.
He dropped the Giants kicker and picked up the Indy kicker.
Wow! Oh, you are on it.
All right, Ayumi. I think you're going to get this last one.
Okay.
This would get you the key and a 25% chance to win the car. Come on, Ayumi.
Last
I'm
hour.
For some female representation here.
Last hour, we talked about a show that is getting canceled. And John mentioned it had many spinoffs. Name any of the spinoffs that John named.
I Am Kylie.
Woo!
Yes!
You got it.
Good job.
Ayumi, I may even have screwed that up. It may have been called Life of Kylie, but I said I Am Kylie, which makes you the winner.
I got into a car accident, and I called Jacob and Ronnie, so I don't have a car right now, so this is perfect timing for me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well, we'd love for
well,
you to
win. Fan of
you're,
the show.
You're in good hands with Jacob and Ronnie, that's for sure. And
Hey, Ayumi, spell your name for us.
A-Y-U-M-I.
Ayumi, it's a very pretty name. Good for
you. Thank you.
So Monday at 3:15, Ayumi, there are only 4 keys, and now you've got one of them. You've already won a $100 gas card, and all those people that we went through, there are 30 meals being donated to the OC Rescue Mission in your name. So thank you very much. Ayumi, we will talk to you Monday at 3:15.
Hey, Ayumi, hold on the line, and Jorge's going to get some more information from you, okay?
Thank you.
Cool. Nice.
That was excellent.
Yeah, she was really locked in. Good for Ayumi.
I'm happy that we got a woman. Girl power.
That second question was tough, though.
Yeah.
Oh, your daughter.
Yeah, your daughter tripped everybody up.
That was a tough one.
That was great.
When she had your daughter's name. Yeah, when she had your daughter's name.
That was bonus. That was surprise.
When she said your daughter's name, I knew, okay, this is a real possibility here. That was great.
All right. Coming up next, is it time for Game of Games?
It is.
September.
It's time for Lindsay Theory.
Lindsay Theory first and then Game of Games. Okay, we'll check in on the Rams with Lindsay Theory. After that, we'll do Game of Games. After that, we'll do Crosstalk with George Nelzy.
Wow, lots going on here.
Stay right here, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, thank you for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. As you know, I am a proud member of the Ramily, and the lead reporter on the Ramily is Lindsay Theory from ESPN, and she joins us now. Lindsay, thank you very much. Do you consider yourself to be part of the Ramily?
I don't officially consider myself to be part of the Ramily because I technically report on them, so I don't think I can really be a part of them, Mace. I got to keep kind of a little bit of a line there.
Got it. That makes sense. That makes some sense.
Yeah.
So, Lindsay, what are we expecting on Sunday? A game with that's a little more conservative in game plan, a game that there's going to be more mistakes than we're used to? I know we've only had that game last night as an example, but what do you expect? What type of game do you expect on Sunday?
It's kind of hard to say. The Cowboys have a new head coach this year in Mike McCarthy, but they return the same offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore, so I think their offense is going to be pretty similar. Now, the Rams' defense is going to look somewhat similar, but also quite a bit different from what they did under Wade Phillips. As far as offense, the Rams are going to be going out there without Todd Gurley, so it's going to be interesting to see where their offense is exactly without him as they go to kind of more of a running back rotation. So I'm not really too sure exactly what to expect, but it's going to be great football because no one saw it coming, or if it might be what some people kind of expect to be a little bit more of a sloppy experience because there's no preseason and they also didn't have – none of the teams had the opportunity to practice against any other squads during training camp.
ESPN Rams reporter Lindsay Theory is with us. She made very clear she's not part of the Ramily. Just want to make sure we get that straight. So, Linz, I've got a theory that the secret weapon – that the star of this season, the one who's going to make the offense go, is Cam Akers. Am I expecting too much?
I think you are, Mace. And you know what? No one was probably on that train more than me. I mean, look, they went in with their first pick in the draft, took Cam Akers in the second round, and it was like, all right, this must be the guy that they expect to replace Todd Gurley. And I think they still believe that will happen at some point. But Cam, he didn't necessarily flash during training camp. He received quite a few carries. Sean McVay said a couple of times, hey, he needs to get a little bit better. We're going to need him to learn kind of quickly. That's a tough position for a lot of rookie running backs to be thrown in, especially when it comes to pass protection. That being said, watch, he'll probably come out Sunday and just tear the whole place up and didn't show us anything during the open portions of training camp. But I think eventually Macy might be onto something, but I don't think you should expect too much from the rookie right out of the gate.
Lindsay Theory with it. She covers the Rams for ESPN. Lindsay, the Rams threw last year. Jared Goff threw the ball more than any quarterback in the NFL. The Rams really don't have, if you talked about the Falcons, they have Julio Jones, and you talk about the Cardinals, and they have DeAndre Hopkins. There's a lot of teams that have a lead receiver. Do the Rams have a lead receiver? Is Cooper Kupp ahead of Robert Woods or ahead of Josh Reynolds? Or I know they like this rookie Jefferson. Who's the lead receiver for the Rams?
I don't know that you can define one guy as their lead receiver. I would probably go with 1A, 1B, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. Both had more than 1,000 receiving yards last season. Throughout training camp, both have played significant roles in the offense once again. So I'm not, I don't know that I would differentiate either one of those guys as the lead. They're both right up there. Josh Reynolds, we saw a little bit of him, obviously during training camp, but really the guy who throughout the entire team, not just the offense, but the offense and the defense, where you kind of just continue to go, wow, that looks great. That was Van Jefferson. And there have been so many of his teammates who've just really lauded his ability throughout training camp. Now, I'm not saying he is going to be the guy, the number one guy by any measure. I'm just saying, I think that he will contribute early and really kind of be a surprise rookie.
Lindsay Theory's with us from ESPN. I think one of the strengths of this team is going to be the secondary. Obviously re-signed Jalen Ramsey on the big deal. John Johnson is there. Troy Hill returns. Taylor Rapp has been great Do you see it that way? Is that the strength of the defense?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be really interested. I still think the strength has to be Aaron Donald,
up front,
Michael Brockers. I mean, that's always going to be kind of the bread and butter. And I know nobody was happier that Michael Brockers was able to return this season than Aaron Donald, because he continues to say that Brockers is who allows him to be himself as Aaron Donald, the most, you know, the greatest football player probably in the game. But talking about the secondary, I'm going to be really interested to see kind of what they look like. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey is great. Like you said, John Johnson's coming back from a shoulder injury. He had a terrific season before he was sidelined. But they're going to be used quite a bit differently from what I understand here with Brandon Staley. I think we're going to be seeing more defensive backs all the time. Jalen, rather than maybe just locking down one side of the field, he's going to be moving around. So I think this could be a really, really good group. I think it's going to be a matter of how do they kind of figure out how their new system is going to work and what exactly everyone's role is.
Lindsay, they changed all the coordinators, or most of the coordinators. New offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, new special teams coordinator. How big of a deal is that? Is that something fans will notice watching the Rams play? Will they look different?
I don't think they'll notice it on offense. Sean McVay is still calling plays. You know, I think Kevin O'Connell came in to really just kind of take some of the load off Sean as far as preparation throughout the week, and obviously he's there to help coach Jared as a quarterback. Defense, I think fans will notice difference. Like I said, I think they're going to see a lot more defensive backs on the field more often. Special teams, you know, to the lay eye, will special teams look too different? I don't know. Probably the biggest difference there is going to be obviously that Greg Zuerlein's gone, and they have
What do you think of Sam Sloman? What do you think of Sam?
Yeah, it totally caught me by surprise that he won the competition, if I'm being perfectly honest. I mean, I thought it was going to be between the two veteran guys, Learum, who was a CFL kicker, and Austin McGinnis, who was in the XFL and whatnot. So the fact they went with the rookie, I'm told he came on kind of late in the camp, made a few kicks that made them turn their heads, and then they are also happy with what they saw from him on kickoffs. But I think special teams will look different. How much we'll be able to tell, still to be determined.
All right, let me ask you one last thing. The offensive line was at best mediocre last year, and it essentially returns intact. The one thing Jared Goff likes is a clean pocket. How do they accomplish that with the same offensive line they had last year?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question, Mace. You know, Rob Havenstein's back. He was hurt last season. They have another year of experience for some of those younger guys, even though Joe Noteboom, I mean, he's back from a knee injury too. The offensive line is still my absolute biggest question mark. It was, like you said, it was mediocre at best last season. And until they get out there and prove that they are improved this season, it's just not a position group I feel strong about. I don't know that it's a position group that even maybe the Rams feel super strong about. You know, they're going in with 10 offensive linemen on the roster. In the past, it has been fewer than that just because of the strength of that group. But now I think they're going to be a little bit more prepared if they need to make some changes, to make some changes. But I think the Rams' offense, and I think perhaps even the season, really hinges on what that offensive line is able to do.
So, Lindsay, are you – and this is just a curiosity question. Are you inside the stadium on Sunday? And when the game ends, are you allowed to go into the locker room like you normally do? Or how do you tactically do your job on Sunday?
Yeah, so we're going to be in the press box, but we are not allowed to go anywhere else. So we'll be watching the game socially distanced from a few other media members. They've set up like plexiglass on the press box desk, you know, that we all sit at. So we'll be sitting kind of in plexiglass dividers. And we'll be watching the game. And then after the game, it'll be like it has been at practice and all off season. We're going to be doing everything via Zoom. So we will not be down in the locker room. So I know people are so used to in their coverage seeing all these like random different quotes coming out and talking to all kinds of players. And this year it's just going to have such a different tone as guys come one by one and talk on a camera to a bunch of reporters who are sitting in a press box.
Okay, last thing for you, Lindsay, because you're very close to the situation. You follow the team very closely. They're playing the Cowboys Sunday night. Do you think the Rams win this game?
You see,
just be objective. Put on your reporter hat and tell me what you think.
This is why I can't be part of the Ramley, because I make predictions like this and they get very, very angry with me. But I actually think the Cowboys are going to win the opener based on the fact that they are returning the league's top offense. And the Rams defense still, Brandon Staley's never called a play in the NFL. So I think when you factor in all that, you're going against the best offense in the league, arguably, then it could make for a little bit of a tough first matchup.
Wow, so you're picking against the Ramley. Oh, the Ramley is going to be pissed off at you.
Personally, I know it's going to be okay one way or the other. Long season.
You know, there's a chance, Mace, that she might not be right. You realize that, right?
I know. I'm betting against Lindsay Theory. All right. Hey, Lindsay.
You and the rest of the Ramley.
Lindsay, thank you, and we'll talk to you next week after a Rams victory.
All right, Mace, can't wait to it. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
All right, there's Lindsay Theory. I love Lindsay Theory. She's so great.
Well, you love her even though she picked the Cowboys?
I still love her. Still love her.
That says a lot.
And her fiance is a really nice guy. She's just all around great. All right, coming up next for you, Game of Games. I'm torn between games. I'll give you guys a choice.
Okay.
Coming up next. The score is Ireland 3, Lindsay 2, Jorge 1, Michael Thompson 1, and me nothing. It's crazy in the month of September.
Okay.
The choice is a traditional game or a brand new game reminiscent of something Lindsay once did on the show.
Lindsay, well, I'll let you pick. Which one, traditional or new?
Let's go with the new game.
Okay, we will give it a shot. Coming up next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
First. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Game of Games. Here we go. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. John is going to play. Lindsay is going to play. Jorge is going to play. Right now, John leads the month of August. The month of September. He's got 3. Lindsay's got 2. Jorge's got 1. Michael Thompson has 1. I've got 0, and I cannot win today. This is a variation of the game that Lindsay played that caused all kinds of controversy about whether or not it was a good game a couple of weeks ago. So what I've done is I've twisted it around and tried to turn it into a game that really works on the show. Lindsay, that's
just
not
like
meant.
Poking the bear.
It's not meant to.
Lindsay's not going
to
speak for the rest
you.
Of the show.
If you can make it work, and if not, and everyone says it bombs, then you could be like, hey, I thought I did a good job on that.
I will own it. It will be an impossible game if I bomb on it too. All right. Here we go. I am going to give you a category. You name something in the category. You cannot repeat anybody else, and you've only got 5 seconds to answer, and I'm going to count. Does that make sense?
Okay, great.
John, this is a little bit like the knockout game we used to play. Okay, so we're going to start with this one, an easy one. And by the way, 2 strikes and you're out. 2 strikes and you're out. ESPN personalities, John.
Scott Van Pelt.
Lindsay.
Stephen A. Smith.
Jorge.
Keyshawn Johnson.
John.
A question. Can I use past or they have to be current?
You can use past.
Chris Berman.
Chris Berman. Lindsay. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Danny Rossini.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Jorge.
Mike Wilbon.
Yes. John.
Doris Burke.
Yes. Lindsay. 5, 4.
Rutledge.
3. We'll give her credit for that. Jorge.
George Sedano.
John.
Jeff Van Gundy.
Lindsay.
Stan Van Gundy.
Who?
Stan Van Gundy.
Well, he's on TNT, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Lindsay. That's a strike. He's a TNT guy.
Do George and I keep going, or is that just a strike?
Everybody keeps going until they have 2 strikes.
Okay. But do you change the category now?
Yeah, change the category.
Okay.
The category is NFL teams. NFL teams. And we start with Lindsay.
Browns.
Browns. Jorge.
Cowboys.
Cowboys. John.
Chiefs.
Chiefs. Lindsay.
Bengals.
Bengals. Jorge.
Packers.
Packers. John.
Patriots.
Patriots. Lindsay.
Panthers.
Panthers. Horry.
49ers.
49ers. John.
Texans.
Texans. Lindsay.
Jaguars.
Jaguars. Horry.
Lions.
Lions. John.
Eagles.
Eagles. Lindsay.
Bills.
Bills. Jorge.
Seahawks.
Seahawks. John.
Raiders.
Raiders. Lindsay.
Steelers.
Steelers. Jorge.
Rams.
Rams. John.
Washington football team.
John is right. Washington football team. Lindsay.
Ravens.
Ravens. Jorge.
Chargers.
Chargers. John.
Saints.
Saints. Lindsay.
Colts.
Colts. Jorge.
Dolphins.
Dolphins. John.
Buccaneers.
Buccaneers. Lindsay.
Cardinals.
Cardinals. Jorge.
Bears.
Bears. John.
Jets.
Jets. You guys are great. Lindsay.
Texans.
Nope. Repeated it. Yep. You're out, Lindsay. That's two strikes.
Oh.
Two strikes and you're out. Sorry about that. All right. Here, this one's going to be a little bit tougher. The category is, with Lindsay out, Pixar movies. Pixar movies. Again, you've got 5 seconds to answer. We'll start with Jorge.
Coco.
Coco, John.
Toy Story.
Toy Story. Jorge.
Inside Out.
Inside Out. John.
Incredibles.
Incredibles. Jorge. Five, four.
Bug's Life.
Yes. John.
Cars.
Cars. Jorge.
Wait, can we go Cars 2?
Yes, Cars 2.
Yes.
You're in. John.
Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2.
Toy
Jorge.
Story 3.
Toy Story 3. John.
Up.
Up. Good one. Jorge.
Incredibles
Five.
2.
Yes, you're in. John.
Ratatouille.
Ratatouille. Lindsay.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Lindsay. Jorge.
Ratatouille.
5, 4, 3, 2. One strike on Jorge. All right, so it's John, no strikes. Jorge, one strike. This one could end it if John wins it. John, the category is American presidents. American presidents.
Oh, he's dead. He is dead.
We start with John.
Donald Trump.
Jorge.
Barack Obama.
John.
George W. Bush.
Jorge.
George Washington.
John.
Bill Clinton.
Jorge. Five.
JFK.
Four. Who was that? JFK, yeah.
JFK.
Go ahead. John.
George H.W. Bush.
Yes. Jorge.
Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Yes. Franklin D., as they called him. John.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Jorge.
Thurman.
What?
Thurman?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. That is your second strike. President Thurman.
Yes.
President Thurman was very unsuccessful. There you go. There is your Lindsay game. What do you think, Lance?
Who is Thurman?
I don't know, man.
I think it worked. I think the problem in my execution was putting in the 5-second time limit.
Yes.
I gave everyone way too much time because it's supposed to be rapid fire. Like, that's
rapid
when I played
fire.
On Ellen.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So I think we'll keep this game for Game of Games. I think it worked pretty well.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Ireland 4, Lindsay 2, Jorge 1, Michael Thompson 1, me 0 for the month of September.
I'm trying to think if there's even a fictional President Thurman.
Thurman. It sounds like there
to
should
say,
be,
like,
right?
Thurman Munson, the football player. That's the only Thurman I know.
Well, and the fact that he's a baseball player, not a football player, would help too.
That's what
yeah,
I meant.
Yeah, he's a baseball player, but you're close. He did play. All right, there you have it. There is your Game of Games for today. Coming up next, we're going to do some crosstalk with George and LZ. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Welcome to Purgatory. It's going to be a big weekend. We get Lakers-Rockets tomorrow night in a potential closeout game for the Lakers. By the way, Game 7 tonight, Celtics and Raptors. And then Sunday night, Rams football, Rams versus Cowboys at the brand-new SoFi Stadium. John, it is a monster sports weekend.
It is, and a couple things to get to before we get to crosstalk here. First thing is, I mentioned earlier in the show, Mace, that Scott Van Pelt's one big thing was about Dak Prescott and how
yes.
Prescott spoke out about depression. Skip Bayless criticized him for it, and Scott Van Pelt made it his one big thing last night. We tracked that down for you. Here's Scott last night on SportsCenter.
We have never had more access to athletes than we do right now. Social media has allowed them to control message and their brand like never before. But it's more than that. The modern athlete is more willing than his or her predecessors to share themselves in ways that reveal their humanity, their vulnerability. It's easy to lose sight of the fact that these stars are just like we are, because we won't ever be in line for a 30-some-odd million-dollar-a-year contract. We won't ever be the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. But we all carry around things with us, pain, burdens, fears, and they get heavy because they're real, even if you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott shared with Graham Bensinger that following his brother's death by suicide, he struggled with depression, that the isolation of quarantine impacted him significantly as well. But Prescott shared this.
When you have thoughts that you've never had, I think that's more so than anything, the chance to realize it and recognize it and to be vulnerable about it.
And that's what's so different about the modern athlete, not Instagram or brand management. It's the understanding that there will be understanding, that you don't have to pretend to be tough when you aren't, that you can ask for help and know that it's going to be met with compassion for the most part. And also to know that those who can't muster any aren't worth your time or your concern.
Yeah, there's Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah, the last sentence was my favorite part, and George Sedano and LZ Granderson are joining us now for Crosstalk. The last thing was my favorite part. The encouraging part about this whole Skip Bayless, Dak Prescott thing, guys, is the reaction to it from everybody else, that Dak Prescott was universally welcomed after somebody tried to criticize him for being vulnerable. And that's when you know you've turned a corner, when the reaction is so overwhelmingly one-sided. George, what do you think about all that stuff?
Look, I've worked with Skip before on First Take many years ago, and I think Skip is a nice man. I think what the problem is that people don't realize is that he has a very one-track mind. If you notice, like, there was a huge mistake. He made a mistake not that long ago. I remember when Paul Ryan kind of delved into sports in one of these political debates.
Okay.
And I remember there was a clip that went viral about him not even knowing who that was, right? Like, that's just who he is. And I'm not condoning what he said at all. I think what he said was reprehensible. Like, as someone particularly who has suffered from depression, who has had real struggles dealing with loss at times, as many of us has, as Scott pointed out, right? Like, I think he's a very nice person off the air. I just think he's not very worldly or understanding of anything that's not in his particular sphere or circle. And most of it is sports.
LZ, what'd you think?
I don't pay attention to that dude. I've worked with him 2 years ago, like George in First Take. In fact, I worked with him when it was still Cold Pizza, and First Take was a segment within Cold Pizza.
Sure.
Yes, wow. Yes, because I'm old and I've been around. But one thing that I learned very quickly was that he had discovered that it pays well to be a contrarian and to be somewhat of a shock jock.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I no longer think of him as a nice person. I don't think of him a nice person because of what he did to Troy Aikman. I don't think of him as a nice person as to how he takes every single moment of positivity that LeBron James makes and try to spin something into negative because he realizes good for business. And so when I heard what he had said about Dak Prescott, I saw it as more just par for the course. Here is someone who gets paid a lot of money to say inflammatory things because it's good for business, and he never once thinks about what he leaves in his wake. And so I didn't pay much attention to it. I didn't think there was much explanation needed, because anyone who knows who Skip Bayless is and what he tends to do knows that he's full of what.
Yeah. George, I said earlier, I had the same experience you did with him. I went back and filled in on First Take and went against Skip for a while, and he was very nice to me and treated me great when I was back there. But again, the thing that I'm going to take with me from this story is the people and the name people who came out and lined up behind Dak.
Sure, sure.
People like Kevin Love immediately jumped on this.
You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles. I mean, I said this earlier, but I'll say it again. I've wrestled with mental health issues. I was diagnosed bipolar 1 20 years ago, and it's an ongoing struggle. It's an ongoing battle. Thankfully, I've got really good help and professional help and all that stuff. But I live with that every day. And so when I hear Skip Bayless say something like that, suggest that somebody who is dealing with mental health issues is somehow less than a leader, mm-hmm. less than a man, challenging your manhood, really. It really bothers me. This rubbed me really the wrong way. And I, as somebody who has never worked with Skip, I will say just absolutely reprehensible. I don't think he should be fired or anything like that, but he should have to give a fuller apology than he gave earlier this morning on his TV show.
All right, there's something else I wanted to get into, and forgive me, George and LZ. Mason's heard me give this speech a million times, but I only do it once a year. Today's September 11th.
Only 19 times, by the way, John.
Yeah. Today's September 11th, and I said many, many times, if you're trying to explain September 11th to somebody who was either not alive, like my son was born in 2001, a month before all this happened, or if you want to put it in some type of historical context, if you're teaching it in schools, do yourself a favor and track down the movie United 93. LZ, have you seen it?
I have.
It was directed by Paul Greengrass. It uses people in the movie that were actually in the towers that day. It's shot in real time. And what I mean by that is from the start of the movie, it shows you the amount of time it took the hijackers to bring down Flight United 93. And I just think it's incredibly well done. And I think they're going to be using it in schools. It's not a comfortable movie. You'll walk out of it very uncomfortable. But I would encourage everybody to go see it. George, have you seen it?
I have seen it. Yes. Yes.
I don't know if it had the same impact on you guys that it did on me, but it's now 14 years old, but I think it's just incredibly well done. So today's the day. You're going to see it a lot on cable. You're going to see it a lot on your HBOs and your Showtimes. And if you've never seen it, it's worth recording. All right. That's my soapbox for the day.
Okay.
That's a good one.
So Clippers done, Sonato. They're playing right now. They're
you mean Denver's done?
Or Denver done? Yeah,
yes. Denver done. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
I mean, I think Denver could maybe muster another win, but I mean, yeah, they're not winning the series, barring like a It has to be a catastrophic injury to Kawhi, I think, for them to win. Not even Paul George. It's really about Kawhi. Like the numbers on the Clippers are pretty fascinating. The net rating when Kawhi and Paul George are on the floor. Heading into the bubble was plus 11.6 per 100 possessions. When Paul George is on the floor by himself without Kawhi, it's plus 2.2. When it's just Kawhi, regardless of who's on the floor with him, it's plus 11.1. That's all you need to know about his importance on that particular team, and I guess in general, really.
Very sassy stats. By the way, I think this is a referendum on the small ball thing. You know, second chance points, Lakers in the series, 55-21, 51-29. Points in the paint, Lakers 212-138. Rebounds, Lakers 177-132. You just can't play small against a team like the Lakers.
Well, Anthony Davis, it's what LZ and I were talking about, and you, Mace, when we were saying that Anthony Davis needed to play center, needed to play
absolutely.
The five.
Put his they needed to go small. On. Exactly. Yeah. Adjust. Right. Play small.
Yeah.
It was all about it.
I feel like the three of us should take a victory lap.
We should.
John.
You guys are all idiots. Anthony Davis was never bad as the four. You guys are.
They're better as a five.
They're better with the smaller lineup.
John,
they had
John,
the best
John.
Record in the NBA when he was the four.
John. I don't care about three, four, fives. I care about where he's doing his damage. That, to me, is the biggest impact. So every stat that you quote in regards to points in the paint, that, to me, is what I care about. I don't care. He could be the two as long as he takes his big ass down the blocks and make them pay for being small.
Yeah, or cut to the basket, back
cut
door,
to the basket,
right.
Exactly.
Is this the end of small ball guys?
Well,
The Warriors are still going to play it.
No, absolutely not. Right, exactly. The Warriors are still going to play Draymond at the five because they can do – Draymond is also
– I'll say it's the end of not even having a center on your roster.
No, here's the end. I got the end for you guys. It's the end of big guys not being skilled in the perimeter. That's what it's the end
of. Correct.
That's a good point, yeah.
Correct.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's a center or anything like that. It's you can no longer have a Steven Adams suck up too many minutes on your squad
and pay him $30 million.
You need to do what Marcus, you need to do what Marcus Gasol did and someday turn into a 3-point shooter.
Wait a minute, LZ, what about Rudy Gobert?
What about Rudy Gobert?
Is he out of the league now?
He ain't won nothing.
Right, but I'm just saying he's a free agent at the end of next year. He's going to get paid.
Yeah, but do you want
well,
that?
Well, but that is also what we call – hold on. But that's also what you call an outlier. Rudy Gobert has real impact on the defensive end that Steven Adams does not. Steven Adams is an excellent offensive rebounder, but Rudy Gobert can guard the perimeter. Like, we've seen him do that. He blows up pick and rolls. Like, that's not what Steven Adams does. And I think that to further LZ's point, if I may – the perimeter part of it doesn't mean just shooting. Bam Adebayo doesn't shoot threes, but he affects things on the perimeter with their dribble handoff game, the fact that he can shoot a mid-range jumper from 17 feet. I think that that's what LZ is referring to, that it doesn't have to just be threes. You just have to affect the offense in a way where you can be out on the perimeter and create opportunities for other people.
Mm, yeah, I don't think I don't think
exactly.
Rudy Gobert spends any time out at the perimeter.
Listen, LZ, how are you feeling about our Rams Sunday night, huh?
I'm feeling pretty good. It's my understanding that some so-called experts have them as underdogs.
Yes.
I can appreciate them wanting America's pat, you know, like, hey, you know, whatever. You know, Vegas also said that the Lakers weren't going to advance, so, you know.
No, like, did they?
Or was that 338?
No, it was 538. One of the 538 models. Not both.
One of those. All I know is an expert thought that the Lakers had like a 30-some-odd percent chance of getting past the Rockets. And I was just like, boulder dash. And I feel the exact same way about the Rams. It's like, I don't know who thinks that sorry-ass Dallas Cowboys squad from last year is going to walk into our brand-new $5 billion stadium and beat
Preach.
Us.
Lindsay Theory thinks that.
Yeah, but nope. Lindsay's not part of the Ramley.
She's not.
I'm part of the Ramley.
Yeah, Mason is. And, you know, we all...
LZ, are you part of the Ramley, or are you just a journalist on this?
Hey, you know, I'm promiscuous. I'll be part
there
of
you
it.
Go. Good.
All right, so last thing, you guys. I have no idea who's going to win this Toronto-Boston game tonight. I think Boston should win, but I'm done picking against Toronto because they refuse to die. LZ, who wins tonight? Game 7, Raptors-Celtics.
I believe the Celtics win. Mm-hmm. It'll be a well-played game. You're going to see a lot of heart out there. But I believe this is the game that Jason Tatum announces himself as a top 15 player.
Hmm. I think that the Celtics will win. I just think they have more firepower, right? And I think here's the big X factor for them if you look at it. When Marcus Smart scores, they win. It's just that simple. If he starts hitting threes, because the other guys are going to score, Tatum and Brown and Kemba. But if Marcus Smart starts hitting shots, then you just know it's not your day. Like, that's just generally how it works. They've lost one game, I think, in the playoffs where he's scored, like, I think it's 12 or more points. So he's a huge X factor for them offensively because he's such a great defender, right? Like, you can hide someone. If you have a bad defender, you can hide him generally on offense on him, but that hasn't necessarily been the case in this particular series.
Okay, so that's going to wrap it up for us. I want to predict that by the time we get to Monday and we're back on at 1 o'clock, we will be talking about a Rams victory over the Cowboys.
I agree.
And we'll be talking about the Western Conference Finals, which will be set Lakers versus Clippers, and we'll start next week.
Well, the other part of it is that even if the Clippers lose today, they play Sunday. So that will still happen Monday. So
exactly.
You've given yourself some pad there for sure. By the way, real quick, John, Raiders at Carolina. What's going to happen?
Raiders don't travel well, but Carolina stinks. Give me the Raiders in a exciting 13-10 win.
Are you putting mythical money on that?
Yeah, we didn't make any mythical money bets.
Yeah, what the hell? How did I remind you of that 3 hours in?
I got 5,000 on the Rams plus 3.
Boom.
What's the spread in the Raider game? Anybody know?
It's a Raiders 3 on the road.
Raiders
minus 3.
Minus 3?
Yeah, they're the favorite.
Road?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good. all right, give me $2,000 on the Raiders.
There we go.
Wow. There you have it. There you
I
have
like it.
It. All right. All right, guys, have a great show. George and LZ coming up now for you. We're back Monday at 1 o'clock. Mason and Ireland merging into George and LZ for your afternoon drive, 710 ESPN.